factor as well. The skill factor is massive. Tactically, it's massive. You know, all them ingredients you just mentioned, it's all of them. It's not one without the other. You can't just be strong. The same as you can't just be a clever boxer. You've got to have the two. You've got to have all the ingredients.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it makes a difference how the bout is officiated, how the referee handles the bout as far as determining who's going to win that fight?
I'm not so sure it's going to determine who's going to win the fight, but a lot of people seem to be concerned about that. I mean, I'm expecting to get a fair shake over there in America. That's all we want, but, you know, let's have a good referee who's going to let the two best fighters on the planet, let's face it, they're the two greatest fighters on the planet. Let them both, you know, we don't want to stop Floyd doing what he wants to do. So I'm hoping that they don't stop, they can't do the way he wants to fight, you know. The styles are going to mesh. We don't want any squeamish referee. Let the fans, what they're paid to see. This is going to be a spectacle. It's going to be like Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran or Ali Frazier, you know what I mean? Let the guys get on with it. I'm sure that that's what the fans want, that's what the fighters want. So I hope that doesn't have any bearing on the fight.
Personality-wise, does that come into play at all in this bout as far as the motivation for really wanting to look well in this fight, the two fighters' personalities?
Now, obviously, the two fighters have got really different personalities, but I don't think that's going to be the thing about the fight. You'll have to repeat the question again, sorry, I just lost my way there.
Excuse me?
It's got to do with winning the fight? No, I don't think so. It's different when that bell goes. These two guys are going to fight and going to try and beat each other. That's what it's going to come down to.
In a nutshell, give me your thoughts on Floyd Mayweather, the fighter, and Floyd Mayweather, the person.
I think Floyd Mayweather is an absolutely fantastic fighter. Defensively, he's breathtaking. His hands unbelievably fast. He's a great fighter. I mean, I've got no argument to say that he's not. He shouldn't be regarded as the best pound-for-pound fighter on the planet. I'd make me look stupid. I'd make myself look stupid. You know, he's extremely gifted. He's just gone through the weights. He's sailed right through the weights, right up from super featherweight right up to that middle. He's a great fighter, you know, but that's why we want to fight him. But my fighter will beat him. Ricky Hatton will beat him.
Now, the person, Floyd Mayweather?
The person, well, you know, Floyd's got himself a bad reputation of being a nasty person, and he is disrespectful to people all the time, but that's what Floyd's like. I don't think Floyd is as nasty as he pretends. I think if me and Floyd sat down after this fight's over and talked boxing and talked about different things, I think we'd probably maybe got on together, but, you know, I don't think at this moment in time that we're going to get along.
Are you surprised that all of this fight came together as quickly as it did? I mean, it seems like what it took was Ricky Hatton to pretty much call Floyd out on HBO after his last victory against Castillo.
Well, that might have been the thing what tipped it. I didn't think this fight was going to be hard to make because it was the obvious fight to make. Whatever you say about Floyd, I mean, he's a warrior, you know what I mean? That maybe might have tipped the scale away. He wanted the fight, but no, I knew this fight was going to happen. It was always going to happen. It's meant to happen. It's all the boxing world. That's what everybody wants to see. Two guys at the peak fighting each other.
All right, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Your next question is coming from Ron Lewis with The Times. Please go ahead.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Kerry. How are you doing?
Hi, am I okay?
Very, very, very well. Just one quick question. Do you think, obviously, Ricky was in great shape last week. Do you think there's any risk, or what are you doing to make sure he doesn't actually burn out in the gym before the fight?
Is
that to
either Kerry first and Billy? You have to slow it down at all, his training.
Well, what I find in my department is, like on the weightlifting and the nutrition, today was the fourth time in this campaign that we've had to up his nutrition. So we're in a fabulous position where he's eating into the fight. So he's getting more and more nutrients in a low-calorie environment for the hard work that he's going to do with Billy Graham next week. Because what you guys have got to understand is when Ricky trains harder every day, he's basically sending a signal to his body that he's inadequate for the workload he's doing to it. So So the body's got to compensate. But before it can compensate, it's got to repair from the trauma of training. So now that we've upped his nutrition, I'm very confident that he's getting lots of nutrients to repair that trauma. So he'll get into the recovery and the evolution of getting fitter, and stronger and faster. So I'm really pleased. We mentioned earlier his weight. On the, he was lifting 3 weeks ago, he was lifting what he maxed out for the Castillo fight. And he said, I'll be able to do extra. And he actually said, no, I'm quite happy leveling off, Ricky. The amount of poundage you're lifting with your legs, you're going to start snapping bones. But I also understood that mentally he wanted to do a little bit more than the Castillo fight. So on Sunday we did do, but it was about holding him back, but allowing him to get them little improvements that will mentally give him, you know, that sort of satisfaction that he's gone further from in this campaign.
From my point of view, I mean, I've lost count of how many 12 rounds I've been involved in training fighters. It's well over 100. I really don't know how many times I've done it with Ricky Hatton, but it's been for many, many years. We've prepared for so many 12-rounders. There's not a prayer that I'll let him go over. Not a prayer. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing as well. Everything's going perfect. No way will I ever bring a fighter in overtrained. I'm too long in the tooth for that.
Yes, one more question, Kerry. Also, I take it there's a huge difference preparing for welterweight this time than there was for Colazzo.
Well, obviously, but don't forget, myself and Billy were, you know, Billy Graham never wanted that fight. And don't forget, we were training for a 140-pound fight. We were training for welterweight.
Yeah.
We were only told it was going up to welterweight when the opponent was changed, and I think it was 5.5 weeks out. Now, don't forget, I stopped the weight training with Ricky 2 weeks out, so I only had just over 3 weeks to adjust his nutrition. So, you know, a lot of people say that he didn't look good against Colazzo. The reality is Colazzo was a very big man coming down. Ricky was going up. Now, me and Billy have just been on that tour with Floyd Mayweather, and at every opportunity you could see me and Billy Graham weighing Floyd up. In fact, you know, we looked like a couple of gays, but we were looking at the structure of Floyd's body, and Floyd's not a big welterweight. Plus, we've had 14 weeks campaign knowing that Ricky was going to be fighting at 147. So it's a completely different scenario.
Excellent. Thanks, lad. See you in a couple of weeks.
And you, mate.
Thank you. Your next question is coming from...
Put me back in.
Thank you. This next question is coming from Diego Martinez with Reforma. Please go ahead.
Operator.
The former's line had music hold. Your next question is coming from Jamie Jackson with the Observer newspaper. Your next question is coming from Jamie Jackson with the Observer newspaper. Please go ahead.
Okay. All right, chaps.
Are you okay?
Yeah. JG time. Just a quick one. Which of Floyd's previous opponents, or opponent, if it's just one, do you think has given him the most trouble in his career? Billy, that's two, please.
I think most people would say Castillo. I've seen other people give him problems. Emmanuel Augustus give him a few problems, but... Floyd dealt with him fantastically. The Castillo fight, I actually think Floyd won both of them. A lot of people think that Castillo won one of them, but yeah, he gave him a fair workout. So maybe Castillo, yeah. Oscar De La Hoya. I think Oscar De La Hoya, till he steps off the gas, was giving Floyd problems.
So is there something from both those fighters, that you can sort of use for Ricky going into it? Going into this fight?
Of course, I get things from all the tapes. I get different things from all the tapes that I watch. You know, I've been watching Floyd for years. Well, obviously, been watching more. I've never watched him as an opponent, though. But this time, I've been watching him as an opponent for a long time. And I take different things out of different fights, obviously, you know.
Yeah. And, it, you know, in your opinion, is Floyd still at his peak, levelled out a bit?
Declined? No, absolutely.
How do you see him?
I see him completely on top of his game. Well, Jesus, he just beat Oscar De La Hoya. You know what I mean? Where do you think he's at in his game? He's completely at the top of his game now. He's at his absolute peak. So is Ricky Hatton. That's what makes his fight so intriguing.
Okay. And just my last question. How do you feel, you know, as his trainer, obviously knowing him quite well, with some of the, I mean, you sort of touched on this before, but some of the stuff that Floyd comes out with, like, I just read this in the paper, I don't know if it, you know, maybe you could tell me, but I think the word he used was bitch with regard to Ricky. Now, you know, is that fight talk or is that sort of proper personal stuff in your opinion?
Let's face it. If somebody calling you a bitch, he's gonna affect you mentally. You've got to be very weak. He can call him Gatorface if he wants for me. I don't care what he calls him. You know, it makes no difference because it makes no difference to Ricky. It certainly makes no difference to me. I find it quite amusing. I just think he's wasting his breath. But if he wants to do it, fine. And if he sells tickets, even better.
The thing was as well, he started calling him Vicky Half-Pattern, and I kind of think he was thinking he was going to get to Ricky, but nobody called himself more Fattern than Ricky himself. You know what I mean? Ricky was joining in with him.
No, it's just ludicrous to think that. Look, if I had a fighter and that was affecting him, if Floyd was affecting you, I'd just say to my guy, you better get another job. If you can't pull this, you better get another job.
Do you almost think it might be a bit of a sign that, you know, he's a little bit concerned about Ricky?
I think if he's not concerned about Ricky, he's a fool. And I don't think he's a fool.
Okay, that's brilliant. Thanks for your time.
Okay.
Next question. Thank you. Your next question is from Raymond Aranda with 411mania.com. Please go ahead.
Hello, guys. How's everybody doing?
Doing good, sir.
Just quickly, you know, since Hatton's been, I guess you could say, invading the U.S., I mean, you guys have had a couple of fights out here now. How does that compare to fighting out in the U.K.?
In what way? To me, it makes really absolutely no difference. I mean, we've been wanting to fight in the States for a good few many years when, we, you know, we were packing out the MMA, and it was often said by the British press as well that we were scared to come out of Manchester, didn't want to fight this person, didn't want to fight that person. That was nonsense. It was incredibly frustrating for me and Ricky. We was getting a bit uptight about that because nothing could be further from the truth. We've talked about these days for years, and also we love fighting in the States. I mean, obviously we missed the British fans because they love us at the MMA, well, anywhere in Britain, you know, they love Ricky Hatton. But it makes no difference to me whatsoever. I enjoy fighting in the States.
So is that a big relief now that you guys have the opportunity to be fighting out here? I mean, do you guys wish it would have happened a lot sooner?
Me personally, I wish it would have happened sooner. I think Woodrick would have become a world star sooner if it had gone to America sooner. But as for this fight has come at the absolute perfect time.
All right, great. Thanks, guys. Hope to see you in a couple weeks.
Cheers.
Thank you. Your next question is coming from Eddie Goldman with Second Out Radio. Please go ahead.
Thanks, you. Hi, Billy. Hi, Carrie. How's everybody doing today?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Fine, thank you, sir.
Very good, thanks. First question that I have regards around a statement that Ricky made a couple of weeks ago on his media conference call where he described himself as Mr. Pressure and said he's going to apply as much pressure as possible. And in response, Floyd said he welcomes that because he likes fighting going backwards. Could you comment on that whole idea of pressuring and maybe using some of the tactics that Castillo seemed to be relatively successful with in his first fight with Floyd?
Absolutely, but I mean, you know, I know where Floyd's coming from. I know where both fighters are coming from. Ricky relishes fighting moves. Although Ricky can stand and fight in real close quarters, he relishes fighting movers, and I like him to fight movers because he's been trained ever since he's been a little boy to hunt people down because that's most fighters run away from him. And I also, looking at Floyd, I can see where he's coming from, because I used to like to fight pressure fighters myself. That's why I'm so good at it. I know that Floyd would much prefer people to come to him than to run away from him. And that's why I say that this fight, the styles are going to mesh. They're going to gel. They're going to bring out the best out of each other. Because like Floyd likes to fight pressure fighters, but he doesn't like to fight. Ricky brings different. He's more intense than the others, sure, but he's also a lot smarter, much smarter. I don't think he's Floyd's ever faced a more skillful pressure fighter in his life. Well, I know that because he's not a more skillful pressure fighter on the planet.
The perception, particularly among the American media, that puts Floyd as a really heavy favorite in this fight comes a lot from the fight with Collazo, which took place at 147, after Ricky had been the fighter of the year in 2005. That was a very difficult fight. Is the training that he's doing now and all of that meant to bulk him up? Because a lot of people consider him better at 140, but not really a true welterweight.
I think that, look, Ricky is a true junior welterweight. I've said that all along. So that answers that question. But if anybody is judging Ricky Hatton by the Collazo fight, oh wow, that is fantastic. Because I've got inside information. I know exactly what happened in that fight. I know the exact reasons for that fight. He put on far too much weight from the scales. The training was fantastic for the fight. He put on far too much weight from the scales to the actual contest, which made him sluggish. He was carrying too much surplus weight in. I know all the reasons for it. Plus, he was fighting a big southpaw. But the reason was mostly because he bulked up wrong, he carved up wrong. For example, that's the last fight he's ever had, that silly fried breakfast and junk food the day of the fight. He carves up clean now. Now, I really do hope that the Mayweather camp and all you American press guys, I hope that's what you're going on. Oh, wow, that's wicked.
Can I come in on that, please?
Sure, please.
Yeah, and once Ricky makes the weight, we've got to carve him up. We want to carve him up in clean nutrition, low calories, and nutrients that are going to give him sustained energy for the next for the workload that he's going to put on. But Ricky's always had, and it's well publicised, Ricky's always had what we in England call a fried breakfast, and we've always been against it, but he's always had it. Now, because he weighed in at 147. Instead of 140, and then had his fried breakfast, and then we had to give him clean carbs to give him energy for the fight. He weighed too heavy in the fight. I mean, he's also admitted that he had food during the day that was fatty foods. So Ricky learned a massive lesson there. And so with the empty calories that he ate, it was giving him weight on his body, but with no nutritional value, which did him no good in the fight.
Okay, I guess he's cutting out the Guinness also.
Not after the fight. The other thing as well, don't forget, and we keep saying this, we were only given 5.5 weeks notice for that 147 fight.
Okay, great. Everybody, please stand by. At this time, we are going to be joined by Roger Mayweather and Leonard Ellerbe. And please, I'd like the other trainers to stay on the line for just a quick minute. We're going to transition through because I haven't had a chance to see if you guys have any more questions, but they have been in the whole queue for a couple minutes now. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce Roger Mayweather and Leonard Ellerbe, Floyd Mayweather's trainers at this time. We ask that Billy and Carrie stay on the line for a quick minute, and then we will transition into the other group for more questions from the media. Leonard Ellerbe?
Hey. Hello?
Are you guys there?
Yeah, me and Roger here.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for joining us. Sorry for the delay. We did get the call off a little bit later than expected. At this point, if Roger would like to just give greetings to the media, say a brief opening statement as well as yourself, and then we'll turn it back over to the media where they might still have some questions for Billy and Carrie, but of course for you and Roger as well. So Roger, are you there, Roger?
Yeah, I'm here.
Another big hit for you in 24/7. I tell you, the trainers, I think, are making the show what it is. I don't know. Between you and Billy Graham, I've heard a lot of great things. So Roger, go ahead.
Well, I do know this. What motherfucker eating cereal got to do with fucking fighting? That don't got shit to do about it. I don't know what he's talking about. Oh, he got to make weight. He got to do this. oh, he eats better, oh, he eats, that ain't got shit to do with fight. You can eat, you can drink beer all day and still whoop somebody ass, still win fights. Had nothing to do with nothing else. So I don't care about his weight, or he got to make this weight, he got to make that weight. What that got to do with fighting? Go ahead, come from 130 pounds. He beat De La Hoya's ass at 154 pounds. So obviously, it doesn't make, what he's saying doesn't make sense. Skill wins fights. That's the only thing that do win fights, skill.
Okay, strong opening statement from Roger Mayweather. Leonard, could you please say something quickly, and then we'll turn it back to the media?
Well, I think Roger said it, Roger covered it all. You know, when it comes down to it, Floyd's skills are going to win the fight. Floyd's the better fighter. Floyd's the better conditioned fighter. And Floyd's the smarter fighter. So all that, what he's talking about, him putting on all this additional weight, Ricky Hatton being strong, is a bunch of bullshit. Because at the end of the day, skills is what pay the bills.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. And now I'd like to turn, operator, please open it back up for questions. We'll see if there's any more for Billy and Carrie, and then we will get questions for Roger and Leonard as well. So go ahead, operator, please.
Thank you. Once again, to pose a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question is coming from Francis Walker with blackathlete.com. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me on the call. I have a question. I have two questions, actually, for Mr. Graham. Has Ricky Hatton ever fought anyone with the style and skill level similar to Mayweather during Hatton's days as an amateur?
Yeah, I mean, Ricky's fought all kinds of styles of fighters because he was a real tough amateur boxer. He was robbed in the World Juniors. He would have won the Olympic Games, I think he was there, amateur. But, you know, when you're talking about has he fought anybody quite like Floyd, no, he's not fought anybody quite like Floyd because there is nobody like Floyd. I mean, Floyd's the best at what he does, but he's definitely fought fighters similar.
Okay.
Fast fighters, for people with fast hands, boxer movers, you know, he's fought people with a lot of variety in that, but no, there's nobody quite like Floyd. But he's fought plenty of that style.
Okay, and the second question, this will be my last question for you, Mr. Graham. What makes Team Hatton so certain that Ricky Hatton can break Floyd Mayweather's defense and make him fight a more offensive fight under pressure?
I'm not saying he can make him fight a more offensive fight. But, well, yeah, he actually will, because he will have to stand the fight. At some point in the fight, he will have to sit down and meet Ricky in the trenches, that's for sure. He won't be able to get on his toes and move for 12 rounds against Ricky Hatton. And what makes me think, be so confident he can beat Floyd, is because I know Ricky Hatton better than anyone on the planet. I know what he's got. He's not just a pressure fighter. He's an awful lot more. He's blessed with all these attributes what Floyd's blessed with. Like fantastic peripheral vision, great variety, fantastic balance and reflexes, coupled with his amazing strength and ferocity, I think that's going to be enough to beat Floyd.
Okay, thank you, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, Francis. Next question, please.
Your next question is coming from Gary Davis with Daily Telegraph News. Please go ahead.
Hello again, gentlemen.
Hiya.
I see, I told you wouldn't call me sir. Having heard what Leonard and Roger said just then, you know, do you think they're bluffing when they say that they're not at all interested in the technical aspects of weight and all those things? Do you think they're just bluffing?
No, I don't think they're bluffing when they're talking about the weight training and that kind of stuff. I think that's what they actually believe, to be honest with you. Because an awful lot of trainers do believe that, but I can't really tell. I think the two experienced, the full team's two experienced, who underestimate Ricky Hatton. So I don't think they think Ricky Hatton's as basic as what they're saying. I think they're clever enough to see that Ricky Hatton's a lot more complicated than a typical pressure fighter.
Thank you very much, gents.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is coming from George Rosenwasser with Valley News. Please go ahead.
Hello, my question is actually for Roger Mayweather, if he's on the line. Yes, Roger?
Yeah.
First, I'm wondering if you saw 24/7 on Sunday?
Yeah, I see 24/7 on Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah, I seen
it. What do you think about the body bag, that large punching bag that Billy Graham uses with Ricky Hatton? Do you think that'll help him in the fight?
I don't care nothing about that shit, because you know what? Punching bag don't hit back. Still win fucking fights. All the rest of that bullshit don't mean nothing. There ain't never been a fight over there. The greatest fighters in the world are from where I'm from, period. So beating his ass ain't nothing but another fighter. And Ricky Hatton is very tough. He's very tough. He gonna come. And when he knock on that door, we're going to have some for his ass, too. You can believe that. You ain't got to worry about that. When you answer that door, somebody going to answer that door with baseball bats. Beat him across his fucking head.
Thank you, Roger.
I got off it. With being a fucking ass. With a baseball.
Thank you, once again.
Fucking beat the baseball bat.
I'm sure that was sitting not in the room.
Thank you. Once again, to pose a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time.
Okay. Is that day 1?
Yeah.
Your next question is coming from Eddie Goldman with Second Out Radio. Please go ahead.
Thanks. A question for Roger also. Billy didn't really seem particularly concerned about Floyd's style and thinks that using the pressure techniques that Castillo particularly used in the first fight, that might be effective against Floyd, while at the same time saying Floyd is the best fighter in the world. Can you comment on that?
Well, I ain't got to say that, because when Floyd fought Castillo the first time, you see what happened the second time, right?
Right.
Okay, then. What happened the second time?
Right. Well, I think I agree that Floyd won both fights. The second fight was very clear.
Well, go ahead. He put all the pressure he wants. That's the only thing he can do anyway. So it ain't about can he outbox Floyd. Do he have more skill than Floyd? That's the only thing he can do is pressure Floyd. But other than that, he can't do shit else. Other than that, he ain't nothing but a high-profile club fighter. And the only reason why he gets this big reputation now is because you got to remember this. I can honestly say he beat Constant Zhu. And that fight was dead even. So, I mean, and he got away with all that shit over there where he was from. He won't get away with all that shit over here. But besides that, as far as boxing, as far as pure skill about boxing, apart about the best fighter in the world, well, the bottom line is this. Floyd never had plastic surgery. I don't believe. I bet that motherfucker had. What'd that tell you? Tell me what he gonna do. He gonna bring his motherfucking face. He gonna bring his face. He gonna bust that ass up too. Don't make no difference. What else he gonna do? That's the only chance that he got. You got to put that ass on the line.
Now, having said all that, I'm assuming also on the other side of it, you're not underestimating him, because you could say he's a club fighter, and then it's easy to overlook somebody like that. And we know, I mean, you've been in boxing for your whole life. You know what happens when you do that. So how do you avoid not underestimating him?
Bottom line is this. Floyd didn't get to where he's at. Floyd's the first guy in history to win 6 world championships anyway and be undefeated. He's the first guy in history to do it. Other guys have done it, but they've already lost first. Delaware done it, he lost. Ali done it, he lost. So, but the Floyd's the only guy in history to ever do it and never lost. And I don't think the reason that he don't do it is because he don't take his opponent lightly because he know what Ricky Hatton brings to the table. He know what Ricky Hatton brings to the table. And, when he brings it, we got to be ready for it. So, I mean, he's a durable, he's a tough, durable fighter, but I want to tell him in his training, I'm sure they're on the line listening to this, fucking weight don't win a fucking fight. Skill do. He can bench 300 fucking pounds. What the fuck does that mean? We ain't in no weightlifting contest. We're in a boxing match. So as long as we're in a boxing match, then the best fighter gonna win. I'm sure he knows what the fuck that is.
Okay, thanks. Good luck to everybody December 8th.
Thank you, Eddie. At this time, I would like to just say thank you to Billy Graham and Carrie Kays for participating in the call.
Thank you.
All righty, and then we'll continue with Roger and Leonard. And thanks again, you guys, and we'll see you soon. Okay, operator, go ahead, please.
The next question is coming from Ramon Aranda with 411mania.com.
Hey, Roger, how's it going, man?
Fine, how are you?
I'm all right, man. So we've seen in some of Floyd's previous fights that, you know, he allows himself to get trapped along the ropes, whether it's by choice or not, and get banged to the body. Now, obviously, we haven't really seen anybody that's been able to hurt him or really be effective while doing it. Obviously, Hatton, that's kind of his bread and butter, going to the body. Are you guys at all concerned about that? I mean, is Floyd looking to just make sure to not get trapped along the ropes as he usually does?
Floyd's going to do what he do. Floyd's going to do what he do anyway. Yeah. Hatton doesn't do about all that body punching bullshit. If you know anything about boxing, the greatest fighters in the world, the greatest heavyweight in the world, Ali, right? Did Joe Frazier keep him on the rope, hitting him with body shots and all that? At the end, what did Joe Frazier get?
Not a whole lot.
At least
not to the body.
Joe Frazier hit Ali to the body 90% of the time. So, and Ali don't even throw body shots. Now, Floyd is more skilled than Ali. So, what does that tell you?
That's true, although when he did fight Castillo the first time, although, you know, Mayweather did win, he was pretty effective going to the body.
Let me tell you something. Well, you know, when he fought Castillo the first time, the fight should never happen because certain things, the fight should never happen. That besides the point. The bottom line is this. When they ask Floyd this, they say, you want to fight Castillo again? What did he say? Yeah, I'll fight him again. And what did he do the second time he fought him? That's what the best fighter in the world do. He don't say, I ain't going to fight him. He don't say, I'm going to duck him. He said, I'm going to fight him again. And I'm going to show you why I didn't whoop his ass like I did the first time. That's because of certain things that happened in the fight prior to leading up to the fight that hindered him from hitting the fuse is by hand. And that's why.
All right. Thanks, Roger. See you in Vegas.
You. Your next question is coming from George Willis with New York Post. Please go ahead.
Hey, Leonard. How you doing?
What's happening, George?
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. Hey, when you had the press conference in New York, Floyd was actually seemed a little drained. He was talking about needing a vacation and a schedule and this, that, and the other. And I was just wondering, how is his mental state? Do you think he's maybe spreading himself too thin? I mean, he's been doing a lot of things, dancing with the stars. Now he's training for a big fight. I mean, how has he been able to cope with his schedule over these last 4 or 5 months?
Well, everything is working right according to schedule. Obviously, after the De La Hoya fight, we went on a worldwide tour to several major cities, always speaking with kids, you know, giving back to the community. You know, the De La Hoya fight allowed us to use that fight as a platform to cross over into the mainstream world, to go off and do a number of different things that no other fighter has been able to do because boxing isn't a mainstream sport. But the attention and the focus that the De La Hoya Mayweather fight brought to the casual fans, it was unbelievable. So from that standpoint, There were a number of commitments that we made after the fight, and it was quite a bit that what we were doing. Then I got him on the Dancing with the Stars show, and the whole objective with that was to bring more eyes to the sport. And I think we were very successful in doing that, and we have every indication that this fight was going to do is going to be very, very successful. It's a mega event. And with all that being said, that I think that the timing of Floyd getting off the show, it was right on schedule because it allowed us right at 7.5 weeks to prepare. And that's normally where we right on track with it with our preparation for any fight. So he's well rested. He's putting in all the work that he needs to put in. We had a great training camp thus far. We have tremendous sparring. We are working with two former world champions and Lovemore Endo and Carlos Baldemir. So the preparation for this fight has been unbelievable, and we're just looking forward to go on December the 8th.
So you're training with Baldemir?
Yeah, Baldemir is one of the guys that we are working with. And like I said, because what Floyd allows himself to do, Floyd challenges himself. And that's the key to this whole thing. You know, he don't want to just work with any sparring partners out there. What me and Roger discuss is bringing in the best possible work to be able to push Floyd and to challenge him to be at his best. And with Lovemore and with Carlos being two former world champions, and both bring different things to the table, with Lovemore being more of a pressure fighter, and with Carlos being more of a durable guy, and both of them have fought top-level competition, you know, and these are the kind of things that the great athletes and the great fighters need to challenge themselves, bringing in the best that's out there too, so that they'll be able to perform at their peak best come, you know, that night.
Great, thank you. And Roger, I have to ask you to explain something. Why do you think Floyd is more skilled than Ali?
What you say?
You said that Floyd was more skilled.
Floyd's more skilled than Ali. What the fuck you mean? Why do I say it?
Why do you think Floyd is more
fucking body shot? What the fuck you talking about?
Do you believe Floyd is more skilled than Ali?
Why do I know? Because number one, let me get, have you ever seen Ali hit the hand mitts? Huh?
Well, yeah, on tape.
I asked you that. Have you ever seen Ali hit the hand mitts? Huh?
On tape.
I said Ali's a great heavyweight. Right. But he ain't more skilled than Floyd. He ain't more skilled than Ray Robinson either.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you mean? Why do I say it?
Because
I know something about boxing. Obviously, you don't. You're just asking a stupid-ass question for it. He more skilled than Ali. Hell yeah, he more skilled than Ali. Ali's a great heavyweight. But Floyd and Ray Robinson is the most skilled motherfucker fighters out there, period. If you know anything about boxing,
I was going to ask you. You're the boxing expert.
Why you asking me the question then?
Okay.
That's why I responded back to you. You said, why do I think Floyd more skilled than Ali?
Right.
Floyd won 6 world championships, right?
Right.
5 different weight classes, right?
Right.
Okay, so out of all those guys that remember, he did that less than 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not saying Ali is the greatest heavyweight. Nobody ever going to deny Ali is the greatest heavyweight.
Okay.
But Floyd is the most skilled, especially in this era today, probably in any era, but Ray Robinson and Sugar Robinson and Floyd Mayweather are the two most skilled fighters in the world of boxing, period. And when all this is said and done, when Floyd long gone and retired, they're going to say Floyd is the greatest fighter in the world. Because you know what? He's already done what nobody has ever done. He won 6 world championships and stayed undefeated. You know anybody ever did it?
Floyd Mayweather.
Do you know anybody ever won 6 world championships and 5 different weight classes and stayed undefeated?
Floyd Mayweather.
Okay, then. That's it. Well, that's why I tell you about Ali and about Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference. Ali's a great fighter. And I'm by denying Ali's ability to fight. Ali's the greatest heavyweight.
Mm-hmm.
But, Charles, when you come to boil down to skill, Ray Robinson, Sugar Ray Robinson, the former, is the most skilled fighter on the fucking planet to this day.
Good. That's a good answer to my stupid-ass question. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, to pose a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question is coming from Jamie Jackson with the Observer newspaper. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, Roger. Hi, Leonard. How are you doing?
How you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. This is one for both of you. Roger first. You kind of answered it, but I was going to ask you, Roger, I'm interested to hear. Where do you put Floyd on the all-time list?
Where do you put Floyd in the all-time list?
You can't get me. Well, hold on. You say, where do you put Floyd on the all-time list? Well, I tell you this. Understand boxing. This. Who is they consider the greatest fighter of all time? You know something about boxing? Hello? I said, who do you consider the greatest fighter of all time?
Well, I'm not an expert to say definitely.
I asked you a question.
Okay, this is my
answer. You asked me a question, so I'm asking you. Who do you consider the greatest fighter of all time?
I maybe have a couple, two or three.
You know, about no two. Exactly. Wait, hold on. If you know anything about boxing, there's no two or three greatest fighters. There ain't no fuck shit, so it has no such motherfucking thing. You either guy is great, he's all right. I say, who they consider the greatest fighter of all time? That's what I said.
Okay, well, my answer is I'm not interested in what I think. I'm interested in what you think.
I'm not interested in what you think either, so I'm asking you a question.
Okay.
Well, who?
Ali.
No. Ali said he's the greatest fighter of all time. Ali said that, right? But you don't really know nothing about boxing. Let me tell you something. Because I'm going to explain something to you. One of the greatest fighter that put them gloves on to this day, right now, that they call to this day, after this, the topic going to be my next one, but after this, is Sugar Ray Robinson. Sugar Ray Robinson had the longest winning record streak in the history of boxing. The mother was 127-1-1. So, Ali never had 70 fights. So, here's a guy had over 208 fights. So, what does that take? He had 127 wins, 1-1 losses, right? One loss and one draw. Do you think that's better than Ali record? Huh? Hey, are you there?
Okay, so
do you hear what I said?
Yeah, I heard what you said. Well, my answer to you.
Ray Robinson, 127.
Hang on a second. You're both talking over each other.
Okay.
Roger, finish your question, then we'll let Jamie answer it so you can hear him too.
Okay, listen. I told him what I'm saying is that Ray Robinson was 127-1-1, right? That record ain't never going to be broken. And after the age of 30, he won 5 middleweight championships. So who do you think the greatest fighter in the world is? And beside him, there was another fighter. His name was Henry Armstrong. You know anything about Henry Armstrong? Do you? Okay. Well, Henry Armstrong was a featherweight. He won the featherweight title. He won the lightweight title. And he won the welterweight title. Remember this. And he fought a black for the middleweight title. This guy come from 126 pounds. So, and he defended all those titles that he won. He defended them 16 times in different weight divisions. Something that ain't never been done in the history of boxing. So, what do you say about boxing? What do you say about somebody being great?
Okay, you want me to answer?
Yeah, I want you to answer.
Okay, well, my answer to that, and this is the reason why I asked the question, was, is this what motivates Floyd? Is it the glory of being considered the greatest of all time? Is that why he gets in the ring?
Well, right now, if Floyd stopped boxing today, if Floyd stopped boxing to this day, nobody in history ever done what he's already done. You know that, don't you? Right?
Yep. Yep. So the answer is yes.
He never won his world championship and never lost. Right to this day, if he quit, he'll go down in history as the greatest fighter ever put on them fucking gloves.
Is that what motivates him, Roger?
They'll appreciate it when his career is over. They just don't appreciate it right now.
Say it again?
Is that what has motivated him through his career?
No, I don't think that would motivate him. What motivated Floyd is that, Floyd's been boxing pretty much all his life.
Yeah.
So, and he believed what he learned in boxing. He believed that he's the most skilled fighter in the world, and he don't believe that no other fighter can beat him. So, he challenged his skill. That's what fighters do. Fighters challenge his skill. If another fighter believes that he is talented for it, then he got to put up a shut up. To this day, in the world of boxing, I don't care how many titles they won, but there ain't no fighter in history has won 6 world championships out of 5 different weight classes and still become champion to this day. There ain't no fighter in history. Not Ali, not De La Hoya, not Roberto Duran, not Tommy Hearns, not Sugar Ray Leonard. The only one who ever done it is my nephew. That's Floyd Mayweather Jr. So if he quit boxing today, what would they consider him to be? Huh?
So, how much better can he become, Roger?
I ask you a question. I said, if Floyd quit today, what would they consider Floyd to be?
Well, listening to the argument you put, which is very convincing, the greatest fighter ever.
Well, he the only guy ever won that many times, right? And stay on the field.
Yeah, yeah.
So, if you base it on his accomplishment of what he done from 130 to 154 and the time that he's boxed, he will be the greatest fighter on the planet, period. He'll be greater than Sugar Ray Robinson because he accomplished more than Sugar Ray Robinson. He didn't fight as much as Sugar Ray Robinson, but he accomplished more than Sugar Ray Robinson in a shorter period of time than less than 10 years.
Okay.
Nobody in history ever done it. So, but that's beside the point about what he's going to do to Ricky Adams' ass.
So may I just ask you, Roger, then, how much better can Floyd become?
Say it again.
How much better can he become?
How much better can he become? Well, you step up to the competition. Tell how good the competition is.
Yeah.
He got to step up when the competition steps up. The competition forces him to step up, then he's going to step up. You're only as good as the opposition that you're fighting.
Yeah.
Hold on one second. Huh.
And this is Leonard. And really, as it stands out there, is Floyd's operating on a whole nother level all by himself. These other fighters out there aren't even challenging Floyd. And to be honest, Floyd ain't even had to dig in his bag of tricks to even, take it to a whole nother level. Because with all due respect to all the other fighters out there, the fighters are basically, as he puts it, ABC 1-2-3. You know, if Floyd really wanted to, he'd go on and win the middleweight title if he really wanted to. So Floyd's operating at a level all by himself. He's competing by himself. That's why he challenges himself, because there's not really no other fighter out there that really pushes his buttons and really that challenges him.
Okay. So in that case then, Leonard, who else is there left for him to fight? It sounds to me as if maybe if it's all about the challenges, the fighters you could fight, if he's beaten everyone, is there anyone left who could give him a challenge?
Well, what that comes down to is that, in boxing now, as we all know, this is a business. This is a business. And like I said, Floyd has done everything that he's needed to do in the sport. He's accomplished everything
What more can he accomplish?
Yeah.
I mean, what more can he accomplish? He's already the best fighter in the world.
You can fight against yourself.
You know, I mean...
Well, in that case, then, I mean, is he, you know... How much longer will he continue? Because, as you say, he seems to do everything that anyone could do, really, realistically.
Well, Floyd will have to answer that question. I mean, if this fight was Floyd's last fight, I support him wholeheartedly, 100%, because, realistically, what more can he possibly accomplish? What more can he possibly accomplish? These other guys out there, they all do the same thing. They call Floyd names because all they're really trying to do is elevate themselves to Floyd's level. And by using Floyd's name, that's all that they're trying to do. That's all that they're trying to do. All these other young fighters that are out there, they're nowhere near accomplished what Floyd has done in a 10, 11-year period. They have to move from weight class to weight class and beat the best fighters that are out there, you know? Okay. So, you know, really what it comes down to is that, Floyd, like I said, Floyd is competing with himself. He's challenging himself.
Okay. Okay, just my last question. Thank you very much. Slight change of tack. You mentioned before that, you know, Floyd had been on this worldwide tour. And
Jamie?
Yes?
I'm sorry, this is Kelly. I have to move on. I have a lot of other people in line for questions.
Okay.
And
my apologies. Thank you very much.
No problem. Floyd. Thank you so much. Next question, please, operator.
Your next question is from Chuck Johnson with USA Today. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Roger, how you doing, man?
Fine, how are you?
Let me ask you, as far as the quality of boxing in this era, as opposed to Sugar Ray Robinson's era, and even the era you fought in, do you think the quality of boxing, I mean, Floyd, of course, being in this era, is as strong as the era of Sugar Ray Robinson, or even the era you fought in?
Let's say this. When you question is Floyd the best, Floyd can fight in any era of boxing, any era, not just this era. He can fight in any era because you know what? When a guy can fight, fighting is the same 20 years ago as it was today. Now, you had more fighters back then. But still, you have fighters. And you remember, Floyd don't select his opponent. HBO do. They don't want to decide who he's going to fight, who they want to see him fight. So Floyd ain't matchmaking himself. They make matches for him. So they got to put him against the guy they think that's the best, or the guy, the most high-profile fighter that he can fight. That's why he fought De La Hoya. That's why he fought Gail Corrales. That's why Floyd fought Castillo. He fought the best guy that they had to fight. Remember, all those guys are former world champions. All those guys that he fought were former world champions. So it ain't like he's fighting guys who can't fight. It's just in the era of boxing, the era has changed. Is it greater fighter today than it was 20 years ago? I don't think so. I don't think so, because 20 years ago, you had Tommy Hearns, Kenny Gray, you had Q.A. Leonard, Kenny Gray, you had Aaron Pryor. There are a lot of great fighters. I'm saying, but that has nothing to do with the era that Floyd comes in. It just has nothing to do with a lot of, look at the era today. Look who the heavyweight champion is. Do you know him? I don't even know who the heavyweight champion of the world is.
Right.
So look at that.
So let me ask you, Roger, so do you think that might have something to do with people, if somebody doesn't want to give Floyd credit for being the all-time greatest, the era
Floyd
that he's fighting? Wait, what I'm trying to say is the era he's fighting in, do you think that might have something to do with it?
No, because you know what? It's just like, you take Rocky Marciano, right? Huh? Right? Hmm. Now, Rocky Marciano's the only undefeated heavyweight champion, am I correct?
Right.
Everybody fought was 95 years old. So, is Rocky Marciano the great? Ain't nobody talking about Rocky Marciano the greatest fighter, is it? Because people ain't no fool. People know the history of Rocky Marciano. That's why the difference between Rocky Marciano, why they say Ali is the greatest, because Ali fought the best heavyweights in the world. That's why they call him the greatest heavyweight. Right? They call him the greatest lightweight in the world, because He fought the best fighter. And he still beat the baddest waterweight at the time, right? Didn't he whip Sugar Ray Leonard? And they called Ray Leonard, would be considered one of the greatest fighters in any era as well, because he beat the baddest middleweight at the time. Am I correct?
So bottom line, you saying that Floyd in any era would have been the number one guy?
Floyd can compete. Mm. I'm not saying he would be as great as he was. I say, but he can compete in any era of boxing, period.
Mm.
It don't make, boxing haven't changed. It's just that there were more fighters then, and there were more middle there. They were great fighters before Floyd. You know one of the greatest fighters they would put them gloves on also? A guy come from lightweight. He won a junior middleweight. You know who that was?
Who was that?
I'm asking you, do you know who he was?
Who are you talking about? I can't read your mind. I'm with you. I'm asking questions.
I gotta read my mind. I'm like, you ain't gotta read my mind.
Well, that's why I'm asking questions, man. I'm trying to find out what you're thinking. I know what I think.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, well, what guy you think in the last, let's say the last 20 years, was a great fighter, lightweight? Besides Roberto Duran.
Who you talking about, Pryor?
Pryor was a lightweight. Pryor was junior waterweight.
Okay, who you talking about? That's what I'm saying, man. We can save a lot of time. You just ask my question, because, like I said, my answers don't mean nothing.
He's one of the greatest fighters in the world, period.
Who's that?
Perkins.
Oh, okay, Perkins. All right.
Perkins come from lightweight, with a title at 154 pounds, just like Floyd did. Now, if they fought in that same era, I don't know. I mean, he was a great fighter. I'm just saying that you had great fighters here today. It's just that Floyd surpassed those guys because he's the only guy who never lost instead of winning. Because he keeps the same desire. But my nephew always told me one time, he said, I don't chase no championship belt. He said, I'm chasing my legacy. He's fighting against it. So that's what he's doing. To be the great. He don't want to be known as Floyd Mayweather, the great fighter. Floyd want to be known as the greatest fighter to ever live. That's what he want to be known as. And if he retired to this day, regardless of what they say, he'll be the greatest fighter ever put them gloves on. They can't deny him that because he's already showed what history has already told him.
Right.
The only guy that won 6 world championships never lost.
I appreciate that, Roger. Let me ask you, Leonard, in terms of the year Floyd's had, I mean, you know, going into the year to now, kind of describe, you know, the where he is today as opposed to when this year started. It's been a remarkable year for him, hasn't it?
Yeah, this has been Floyd's best year to date. It's been a remarkable year. It's been a banner year. The things that he's accomplished inside the ring and outside the ring, you know, they're historical. And these are the things that, like I said, with the, you know, the great, great athletes have done, you know, over a period of time. And like I said, you know, what Floyd has the opportunity to do, you know, at the end of this year is that you hear this, you have a young man who comes from humble beginnings that has accomplished so much in his career. He went on and won all titles in different weight classes, and he's become a very, very successful businessman. And what a lot of the press doesn't really give Floyd credit for is that what he's been able to do in such a short period of time is that he's established a model on how fighters should conduct their business. And I think that plays a critical role into the young and upcoming fighters, because what he's been able to do is to show the world that the fighters deserve the lion's share of the money. And with that being said, that because boxing, the way boxing is structured right now, we have the worst contracts in all of sports, you know, and the thing what Floyd is trying to educate the young fighters are is that they should be able to, you know, be in control of their own business, be able to understand structures of deals, be able to understand how the revenue flows, you know, and with that all being said is that he has the opportunity to become the second highest paid athlete in all the sports this year, which is, like I said, which is a remarkable feat within itself. And those are the kind of things that Floyd doesn't really get credit for, is that the things that he's doing are not only for himself, but for fighters down the road. He's already established his legacy, but from a business perspective, you know, he's establishing what the model is about for future fighters to come behind him.
All right, man. Appreciate that. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Chuck. We have a few more questions, and then we will wrap this up. We appreciate everybody's time and patience on this very long call today. So next question, operator, please.
Your next question is coming from Ron Lewis with The Times. Please go ahead.
Hi, folks. Two questions. First for Leonard. Obviously, Floyd originally announced his retirement in May, but at the same time he's looking to develop Mayweather Promotions. Is he possibly in a position that he wants to keep fighting to actually, because he's Mayweather Promotions' biggest asset as a boxer at the moment?
Repeat that again, Ron. I didn't hear you, Kevin.
Obviously, he wants to develop Mayweather Promotions, and is he in a situation where he wants to keep boxing to help Mayweather Promotions grow? Because as a boxer, he's the company's biggest asset at the moment.
Well, Floyd established Mayweather Promotions, obviously for young up and coming fighters. You know, what Floyd decides to do beyond this fight, that's his decision. And like I said earlier, I support him 100%, whatever that decision might be. But our focus is solely on Ricky Hatton. You know, 100%, we're not thinking about anything beyond December the 8th. And when it comes to Mayweather Promotions, we're just looking to, to follow the lead. That's why we're working with Golden Boy Promotions, is that they have an outstanding company, and we're just looking to model our company behind theirs and to develop our company into one day, a great company like theirs. And we're looking to develop young fighters along the way, and we don't – obviously, Floyd doesn't need to be – Floyd is obviously the face of Mayweather Promotions, but we're not looking for him to be an active fighter.
Next question.
Oh, sorry.
Your next question is coming from Carlos Gonzalezo with Primera Hora. Please go ahead.
Yes, this question is for Mr. Ellaby. Is he still on the line?
Mm-hmm. I'm here.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier about the Floyd's accomplishments and all these young guys that are coming up using Floyd's name as a springboard for them. Is one of those names Miguel Cotto?
Oh, I really, to be honest, I'm being totally honest with you, we're not even thinking about Miguel Cotto or any other fighter that's out there. Our focus is solely on Ricky Hatton. Mm-hmm. You know, here it is, a guy, like I said, Floyd's accomplished everything what he needed. He's accomplished everything that he's needed to do in the sport. These young and up-and-coming fighters who you're talking about, they need Floyd. Floyd don't need them. So really, when it comes down to it, when you think beyond fights in the ring, you have to say to yourself, from a business perspective, what is it that these fighters are really bringing to the table?
All right, thank you.
Your next question is coming from Garrett Davies with Daily Telegraph News. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Roger, I think you're immensely entertaining and knowledgeable man in boxing. Can I just ask you, stay on the theme of skills, who's the most skillful out of Lloyd Hunnigan and Donald Curry?
Who's the most skillful out of Lloyd Hunnigan and Donald Curry?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Donald Curry. I mean, he got hit or that had nothing to do with it. What you asking me?
What I'm saying is...
He had nothing. Is that what you're trying to tell me? He still ain't shit. That's what you're trying to ask me. Who the most skilled? So, Donald Curry ain't no fucking Floyd Mayweather. That's all to it. Floyd got the best in the world. He ain't the second best. He ain't the third best. He's the fucking best, period.
But what I'm saying is that just because boxers aren't the most skilled, it doesn't necessarily mean they're completely written off.
Exactly. You don't know shit about boxing anyway, so you asking me this question. You ask the questions you want to ask, or you want to answer it yourself. Remember this. There's a whole bunch of guys who got skill, and get beat by guys with lesser skill.
Yeah.
I never told you that. I never told you a guy couldn't be beat because he had lesser skill. One of the greatest fighters in the world, Sugar Ray Robinson, period. Now, Sugar Ray Robinson got beat by Jake LaMotta.
Mm-hmm.
I weighed him about 40, 50 pounds, but still, the bottom line, he beat him. But Ray Robinson whooped his ass 5 times after that. Ain't nobody saying a guy can't lose because he has tremendous skill. Ain't nobody said that. And if you ask me about Ricky Hatton and you ask me about my nephew, then you ask me that. You ain't gonna ask me about Ray Robinson. If you ask me about Ray Robinson and Jake LaMotta, well, Ray Robinson whooped his ass 5 times. They fought 6 times. So that means if you want to ask him with skill, pay the bills, hell yeah. If Floyd fought him 5 times, he probably whooped his ass 5 times.
But in the event that Ricky did beat Floyd, he would presumably want to rematch then.
Well, let me. This is Leonard. Let me clear it up. Ain't nowhere in the hell Ricky Hatton's going to beat Floyd. So we can end that question right there.
Well, we won't know till tonight, but if I could just ask one more question. And it's for Roger again. I do think Roger is incredibly knowledgeable on boxing, and it's brilliant to speak to him about it.
Roger mentioned
Ernst, Duran, and Ray Leonard. If Floyd was fighting in the same period, would he have fought them, and how would he have stood with them, do you think?
Well, I'll put it this way. He would have had probably more trouble with Tommy Hearns because of the height, reach, this. But Floyd can, like I said, Floyd can fight in any era of boxing. In any era. I'm talking about in any era of boxing. I don't give a fuck if it's the 20, the 30, the 40, the 50, the 60, the 70, the 80, the 90, and fucking 2,000. If he keep on fighting, maybe 3,000. But anyway, we already know he can compete in any era of boxing. When you're a great fighter, those fighters can compete in any era. Do you think Ali can compete in any era? Huh?
I do indeed, yeah.
Do you think Ali can beat Jack Johnson?
I think he probably could have, yeah.
Okay then. So certain fighters can transcend in any era of boxing. So he just wanted to do that. Floyd is one of those guys that can transcend from different eras of boxing. Duran did it. Ali did it. Ali started in the 60s. Ali's last fight was in the 80s, right?
Yep.
All right. Next question.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Next question. Thank you. I think we have one more question left, and then we'll let you go. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Your next question is coming from Francis Walker with BlackAthlete.com.
All right, I got the last question. Thanks, guys, for taking my question. I actually have two questions, but they're short and sweet. I'll be quick. Mr. Mayweather, Ricky Hatton had a tougher-than-expected battle against an old, injury-prone Costa-Zoo. He was seriously hurt, and he struggled against a Luis Collazo, and in his last bout, he demolished the faded Jose Luis Castillo. Is Ricky Hatton overrated?
I ain't going to say he's overrated. But he ain't ready where Floyd going to be. Floyd ain't going to make a legacy by whooping Ricky Hatton, man. Ricky Hatton will make a legacy if he ever would beat Floyd. Floyd already considered the best fighter in the world. You can't go no fucking higher than that, can you? So, the bottom line is this. Floyd want to seal his legacy with being... Floyd don't want to seal his legacy and saying, oh, he was a great... Floyd don't want to seal his legacy to say that he was great because he whooped Ricky Hatton, man. That ain't what he wanted to put his legacy with. Floyd wanted to be known. And to this day, if Floyd quit today in boxing, Floyd will be known as the greatest fighter ever. to put them fucking gloves on. He would be known as the greatest fighter ever because ain't no guy in history ever won 6 world championships in 5 different weight classes and still remain championship. We still remain champion. Ain't nobody ever did it and retired undefeated. Nobody ever done it. So if he did, if he quit to this day, he'd be known as the greatest fighter ever. But he fights because that's what he loves to do.
In under 9 years.
Yeah. It didn't take him 15 years to do it.
How's that, Francis? You good to go?
One last question. And
okay,
this is
go
it.
Ahead.
Seriously, this is it. Styles make fights. There's a lot of talk about how Ricky Hatton has the style to make Floyd Mayweather fight. Do you see Mayweather Hatton to be the equivalent to a more competitive Mayweather Gatti fight?
You see Ali and Joe Frazier? Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
You thought Ali would Joe Frazier ass. You know something about boxing, don't you?
Yeah.
How many times Ali would Joe Frazier ass in?
Roger, just tell us, please.
God, we don't know the answer.
All right. Is that it? Francis, you good?
I'm good, thank you.
You got a little quiet on me there.
No, I'm just listening to the, I was just listening to Mr. Mayweather.
Come on, Kelly.
Huh?
I'm going to take one more.
One more. Someone very lucky gets the last question for this very great call. Go ahead, operator.
Your next question is coming from Raul Sands with Naughty Fright. Please go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Mayweather and Mr. Albury. And just one question for all our readers, millions of readers in Latin America. A short question. It's about Carlos Valdomir. We know Carlos is a quiet man, you know, very simple man. How he's doing now, you know, like the relation with Floyd, training with Floyd, and in your, you know, training camp, he's so famous for, you know, a lot of music, a lot of laughing. So how he's doing over there?
Carlos is working great with Floyd. He's, like I said, he's a outstanding fighter. You know, he's had a lot of, he's had a tough role in the sport, and he's had some success, obviously a lot of success, you know, towards the end of his career, and that's really what it's all about. We gave Carlos an opportunity to put himself in a great position, you know, with him fighting Floyd last November. And like I said, he brings something different to the table with us bringing him in to work with Floyd. And like I said, he's a very durable fighter. And he's a really, outside of boxing, he's a really, really good guy. And Floyd, myself, and Roger have a tremendous amount of respect for him and what he's been able to accomplish in his career, because one, what you have to remember, he's not the most skilled fighter that's out there, but he brings a certain toughness, and he, like I said, he's a very good fighter.
Okay, and Mr. Mayweather, you have something to say?
Well, I think that being that Floyd has already fought Baltimore, anytime you fought a guy, generally a guy, you fought a guy, you generally don't want to spar with the guy. But he brought him in for the reason that Baltimore had a tremendous amount of experience. He had more experience fighting than Ricky Hatton did.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And good luck.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up our call. Thank you very much again. Just to remind you, there'll be the premiere of the second episode of Mayweather Hatton 24/7 this Sunday night at 10 o'clock Eastern Time and Pacific on HBO. It's a four-part series. Does a great job of looking at the background of both fighters. And again, we want to thank Roger Mayweather and Leonard Ellerbe for joining us today. And if anybody has any questions, feel free to call my office or Debbie Kaplan for the Hatton Camp or Golden Boy Promotions, and you all have our numbers. Thanks again so much, and we look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks. Bye-bye.